Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you so much for your love, for the opportunity to come together and worship. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to live in the United States of America and what that means for the freedoms that we have and the opportunities that it gives us to live a life that is pleasing to you in every way. Father, I lift us up this morning and just pray that you would touch our lives, touch our hearts, speak to us through your word. And Father, let your will be accomplished in all that we do and say today. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, we want to take a minute on this Veterans Day weekend and recognize our veterans. If you served in the Air Force, I did this in alphabetical order this morning, so I know our military kind of gets upset sometimes about which one's the most important, but did this in alphabetical order this morning. Air Force. I know we have some in our church family that are not in this service today, but here's an Air Force right here. A couple of them. All right. Army. Several from the Army. Coast Guard. Marines. I know Pat Johnson is in the hospital. Tommy is one of our Marines that has served. But we need to pray for this family as well in our prayers. Navy. I know we've got several in our church family that serve in some branches of these military places. And then our local service areas where people serve, our police force. Firefighters. I know we got one. Got some others that are here. Got a couple. And what about rescue? Those that work rescue. I know we have several in our church that do that as well. So thankful for these men and women and the things that they have done and the things that they continue to do. Now, folks, while we want to recognize those who have served, here's a reminder for us to grasp a hold of. Got three things I want us to grasp a hold of as we begin this message today. Number one, we don't worship the flag. Number two, we don't worship the military. And number three, we don't worship America. We worship God. And sometimes I think we get that a little confused in all that we're doing. As thankful as we are to live in the United States of America and all that God has given us and the opportunities that we have here, we need to understand this. A democracy is not God's plan for government. Can we grasp that? You're looking at me kind of strange right now. A democracy is not God's plan for government. God's plan for government was put in place with Israel. Israel wanted a king. God said, you don't need a king, you got me. God's not looking for a democracy. God's looking for a theocracy. God's looking for a nation where he is in total control. Where we are looking to him for everything that is said, everything that is done. We are following his leadership and his guidance in all things. When we get to heaven, it's not going to be about my vote and your vote, because all of our votes are going to be for what God wants. We don't have that in America today. Would y'all agree with that? Every election is not about being godly. Every person that is elected is not a godly leader. And we understand through the Bible that nations receive their leaders by the faithfulness of God's people. You've heard me say that many times. The leaders that we receive are what we deserve. They're not always godly men and women. We know that by some that are serving now, by some of the ways they're going about doing things. So we need to get that grasp as we look at where we're headed and what we're doing. And as we pray for God to bless America, We need to realize that we as the church need to stand up and be the church. We need to quit trying to be what the world wants us to be. We need to quit trying to look like the world. We need to quit trying to look good to the world. We need to look good for God. God tells me if I'm doing my job as a Christian, the world's not going to like me. And if I'm looking for a pat on the back from the world out there, I'm in trouble. Because I'm not going to be able to be the minister I need to be. I'm not going to be able to be the Christian I need to be. I'm not going to be able to be the witness I need to be. I'm not going to draw people to Jesus Christ. As a church, we need to grasp a hold of who we worship and why we worship. And realize we have an opportunity to put God first and foremost. And it begins in our homes. And it comes to the church. And then the church is the light in the community. And the community comes to follow Jesus. And we see revival begin to take place in the church. And the community begin to respond around us. It begins to spread out. This nation has seen several revivals through the years. Nationwide, not just a local church body, but a nationwide revival. I'm praying for that. But I'm also praying that we'll have revival here. That our hearts will open up. You know, military life is not an easy life. My granddaddy served in the military. My dad served in the military. My brother served in the military. There were a lot of things that went on there, and I'm not going to pretend that I know all the things about a military life, but I know there are physical, there are mental, there are emotional challenges to overcome to be a good soldier. Soldiers are important, and the things that they do, there's a level of commitment that must be made by every person that serves, a commitment that is real. And when that commitment is not there, it doesn't just affect that individual, it affects his unit. And when it affects his unit, it infects the entire military, which therefore affects our entire nation. Would you all agree with that? I hope y'all can see where we're headed here as we talk about this. Training is difficult. Basic training gets started. Basic training tends to push a person to their limits. It begins to push them beyond the things that they feel like they can do. They learn to depend on each other. They learn to be brothers in the military. After they finish their basic training, there's regular training that continues on and on and on throughout their career. And as they continue to learn and to grow. And then there's special training that takes place. My dad was a Ranger. My dad was a paratrooper. My brother followed in both of those areas. They were both Rangers. They were both paratroopers. They both did those things. Special training had to take place because they were able to do things beyond what the regular military soldier was asked to do. All are important in preparing for the battlefield. Every single person is important as they prepare for the battlefield. Everybody has a job to do. And I think everybody that served in the military would tell you that everybody's expected to do their job. And not just to do their job, but to do it well. To do it as they have prepared to do it. And to be ready for whatever comes. There's sacrifices that are made. Sacrifices that are made. There's time with family that is left behind. We know this. Several people serve in various countries. They leave their families here. My brother spent two services in Iraq during the war. During the First War and the Second War in that area. His family sacrificed. He sacrificed in those areas. There's rest that is not available sometimes. Sometimes you're tired. Sometimes you don't know how to go on, but you do. You continue on. Why? Because you know others are depending on you. Because you know things need to be done. The leisure time that sometimes is not available to relax or to do some things that you enjoy. But something you begin to see as they go through these training times and make these sacrifices is that each unit becomes unified. They become one. They come together ready to serve together. They begin to come together and they have a leader and they get it together so that when you go to the different exercises, when you go to the different graduations and the different things that go on, you see them marching together. It's always easy to tell which unit is together. They're prepared. They've trained. They've worked together. And they look as one as they go through the different drills and do the different things that are done. Unity is a must. They have to learn to trust each other. They have to learn to work together. Otherwise, there's chaos. Otherwise, defeat is coming. But here's something about the military. Not everybody gets to serve. There are things that disqualify people from serving. Whether it be physical, whether it be mental, whether it be a choice that was made in the past, there are different things that disqualify someone from being able to serve in military service. But this morning we're going to be talking about another army. We're going to talk about the army of Jesus Christ. And folks, each one of us are called out to be soldiers in that army. Each one of us are called out to stand and to serve. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul writes these words. He says, "You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Be a good soldier of Christ Jesus." And folks, here's the thing. Everyone can be a soldier for Jesus. Everyone. Not just a few, not just a... If any were disqualified, all would be disqualified. But God opens up the door for all who will come and willingly serve in His army. Back in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, Paul writes these words. "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time." Jesus calls for all to come to him. Now, do all come to him? No. But God desires that all be saved, that all come to him. And this is how this takes place. You know, in the military, you go and you sign up. I know young men still have to fill out draft cards, and they could still bring the draft back one day. But right now, if someone wants to serve, they go down and they see a recruiter, and they begin to work it out in that way. But in Romans chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, Paul writes these words, "What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one." Folks, every one of us have to come to that point in our lives where we will admit that we're sinners. Because until we admit that we're sinners, we won't admit that we need Jesus. We need to come to that point. Every person is a sinner. Are we better than the lost world? No. We just know the one who is. We know the one who's given his life for us. We know Jesus. And we want them to know Jesus too. We have to come to that point where we admit that we're sinners. And then on down in that chapter, beginning in verse 21, Paul writes these words, "But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God He passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." First of all, we have to admit that we're sinners. Second of all, we believe in Jesus Christ. We place our faith in Him. We place our faith in Jesus, believing that He is the Son of God, that He is God Himself who has come to this earth in the form of a man to die on a cross, go to a grave, rise from the grave, and through the shedding of His blood provide the forgiveness of sin for our lives. And then we confess that Jesus is Lord. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, he says this, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Folks, we're going to tell people we're Christians. We're going to confess it. We're not going to be ashamed of it. We're going to want the world to know that we know Jesus. But it's also a heart matter. A heart matter. If our hearts are right with God, we place our faith in Him. We begin to see Him at work. We begin to see who He is. We begin to allow Him to fill us up with His Spirit. And we join the service for Jesus Christ. Now, folks, we've got to understand this. We are not saved by works. But once we know Jesus Christ, we're going to go to work for Him. We're going to become a good soldier. Or at least we're going to strive to become good soldiers for Jesus Christ. We're going to go to work. Because, folks, we are in a spiritual war. Do y'all realize that? We are in a spiritual war. It is real. Satan is at work. And God needs His church to stand up and be the church. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." Folks, sometimes we're fighting the wrong war. Do y'all realize that? Sometimes we fight the wrong battles. Satan is at work. He's not being quiet. He wants to shut the church down. He does not want the church to shine for Jesus Christ. And he will do anything he can to destroy the witness of Wilsonville Baptist Church. I've been your pastor for just over 20 years now. And I have seen Satan attack and attack and attack and attack and attack. What that tells me is this. God has something for this church to do. that is very important. It's not some little something. It matters. We are in a spiritual war, and it is real. And the sad thing is, in every war, there are casualties. And the saddest thing is, in a spiritual war, when the church is not being the church that we're supposed to be, the casualties are the lost. They're the ones that run from the church because they see the church not showing the love of Christ, not drawing together in unity, as we're going to close with in just a few minutes. But at war with each other. Words, actions, lack of words, lack of actions. Satan knows what he's doing. We got to know God's word. We've got to be prepared. Folks, training is important. Pick up in verse 13 of chapter 6 in the book of Ephesians. He says, "Therefore take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." We're at war. We've got to put on the armor. We've got to prepare for the battle. We've got to pick up the word. We've got to take up the shield. We've got to get on our knees. We've got to open our eyes. We've got to trust the Lord. We've got to trust Him in the things that are going on and the things that are taking place. Folks, we're in a spiritual war, and training is important. Sacrifices must be made. Look at, with me in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. He says these words. Jesus is speaking here. "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?'" Sacrifices must be made. Folks, God calls right there. Jesus calls us out to be willing to die in His name. Think about that for just a minute. Now, more specifically here, He's talking about dying to self. But He's talking about dying. We get all concerned about that sometimes. We get all concerned about the things that are going on. We need to be prepared to die for Jesus, who died for us so that we might have life in Him. And when we die to self, what that means is I'm putting off my desires, I'm putting off my wants, I'm putting off the things about my life, I'm putting off everything that I want for Jesus. I'm ready to lay it all down for Him. I'm willing to sacrifice whatever He calls for me to sacrifice. I'm willing to give up everything I've got for Jesus. Are you there? Are you there? I'm willing to give it all up for Jesus. I'm willing to die to myself so that I can be everything for Him that He wants me to be. I hear these words way too often. I, me, my, and mine. I, me, mine, and mine. This is what I want. This is mine. Paul says it's time to grow up. It's a different sermon, but it fits right here. It's time to grow up. We look at what Jesus sacrificed for us. And we talk about sacrifices that we're making. But we realize that we're some of the most wealthy, materialistic, wealthy people in the world. We have houses. We have cars. Folks, there are people all over the world who have nothing. And we're sitting here talking about our sacrifices. Are you willing to pick up and go somewhere else in the world to serve? I got an email from Corey Cloud, our former music minister, this past week. He asked me if I would be a reference for him as he talks to a church in Japan about going to serve. Folks, what about it? What if God called you to leave Wilsonville? What if God called you to leave the United States? What if God called you somewhere to live in some little grass hut or a mud hut somewhere with no electricity, no TV, no radio? And folks, if you haven't got to wait to a place like that, you need to. Kind of nice going to Brazil. It's nice being here. And folks, God has called us to unity. Unity must be obtained. If you would, write down in your notes to read Ephesians chapter 4. Read Ephesians chapter 4. I'm not going to go into that this morning. I'm just about out of time. But folks, unity must be obtained. We've got to have unity in who we are. And the unity is not in your pastor. The unity is not in your deacons. The unity is not in your choir. Unity is not in your Sunday school teacher. Unity is in Jesus Christ. Anywhere else, it's going to fail. Anywhere else, we're all going to fall short. Jesus is the head of the church. We are the body. We are here to serve Him, to follow His guidance, to follow His leadership. A lack of Christian unity is sin. Folks, if we are causing divisiveness in the body of Christ, it is sin. And we need to grasp a hold of that. And we also need to understand this. All unity is not Christian. even in the church. Only when we've focused on Jesus Christ and we put Him first in all things. In the military, surrender's not a word that people want to talk about. They don't want to retreat, don't want to surrender. In God's army, the only way to victory is surrender. Surrender. Surrender means I give up. I'm taking my life out of my hands, I'm putting it in God's hands. Surrender means I am no longer in control. I'm not looking for my way, I'm looking for God's way. Surrender means I'm ready to walk the walk, and talk the talk, and be the man or woman that God has called me out to be, so that God can be seen and heard in my voice, in my actions, in everything about my life. As I surrender, I'm going to put others before myself. I'm going to sacrifice for the body. I'm going to be the man or woman that God's called me out to be. Are you ready to do that this morning? Are you ready to surrender your all to Jesus? See, most of us talk about surrendering our all, but we hold on to things. We hold on to pride. We hold on to past. We hold on to something. If we want Jesus to be Lord, we need to surrender our all. The old hymn goes like this. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel Thy Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Father, as we come before you today, I pray that in our hearts that we would truly surrender to you. That at this time, at this moment, that every person in this room, as we are led by your Spirit, will be willing to surrender our all to you right now. Father, thank you for calling us into your service. Help us to serve well. And let your will be done right now in your name. Amen. I invite you to come this morning as we stand and sing. The altar is open here at the front. You come as the Spirit leads you.